Hello, everybody, and welcome to the WDW Main Street Podcast. This podcast is being brought to you by Elite Vacation Homes. If you need a home for your next Disney or Universal vacation, contact Elite Vacation Homes at elitevacationhomes.com. Show's also being brought to you by American Tourist Travel. Let us book your next Disney vacation, Universal vacation, or any other vacation you can dream of at americantouristtravel.com. Show's also being brought to you by Scooter Vacations. If you need a scooter for Disney World, Universal Studios, or anywhere else in the Central Florida area, contact Scooter Vacations at scootervacations.com. And our last sponsor is David's Vacation Club Rentals. If you want to stay at the Boardwalk, the Yacht and Beach Club, the Wilderness Lodge, the Animal Kingdom, Old Key West, Saratoga, you know them all, guys. Contact David's Vacation Club Rentals at dvcrentals.com. And now on with the show. Main Street Podcast. I'm joined, as always, by my good buddy Dan. Hey, Dan, pull up a stool.
Hey, Doug. Good evening.
Good evening to you, Mr. Sophisticated. And we are also joined by our good buddy Bob Sycon. How you doing tonight, Bob? Pull up a stool.
It's raining magic, boys.
Yeah. Well, at least I didn't call you John, right? And speaking of John, our good buddy John couldn't join us tonight. We got a beer waiting for him. The good thing is it's not a Le Fin de Mont, so one of us could drink the junk. We don't have to drink that junk, but John had to work late tonight, so he's not going to join us for the Hollywood Studios Untouchables. I know he's very upset about that.
Yeah, I'm going to pass on that Le Fin de Monde. I'm actually in the process of drinking the greatest beer ever made, ever, by anyone. Great Lakes Brewing Company Christmas Ale.
Oh,
find
there
it, folks.
I'm having a nice Italian Peroni right now, which I'm very happy with.
Yeah, and I got my Powerade Zero. Berry citrus. What is it here? Mixed berry. Very
well,
good.
Well, Dan, we always need a designated driver here at the pub. Nobody ever drinks and drives at the Main Street pub.
There you go.
So, you know, you're our official Uber driver from the Main Street pub. How's that sound, buddy?
Sounds good.
So what we're going to do tonight, we did the other three parks of the Untouchables, and we saved the best park for last, guys.
Yay!
Universal Studios?
Oh, stop.
Oh.
Dude, where did that come from? Even you, that's pretty nasty for
yeah,
as much as you always discriminate against the other park.
I'm telling you, I said it. I couldn't do it this trip for sure, but I am going to get over to see King Kong on my next trip to Central Florida.
Okay. Well, see, I made myself a promise. I'm never going to put foot down in that park until I live in Florida.
Okay, well, I hope you move this year, Bob.
So do I.
Don't we all?
Yes.
One of us got to hit that lottery. We got to make a pact for each other. If any of us hit the big one, we all got to take care of the other to get us down to Florida. How's that sound? Is that a pact, guys?
I'm in.
I'd be in on that, except I don't buy lottery tickets.
Well, how about you do this, Bob? Once a week, you spend $1 and call it the Main Street Lottery Fund. How's that sound?
Actually, I could justify that.
And one ticket a week, it don't hurt nobody, and you never know. You have to play to win.
Keeps the dream alive.
Every week you could be dreaming, Bob, that we'll all be moving the Golden Oak inside of the Disney World Resort.
It'll happen at some point. Maybe not the Golden Oak part, but it'll happen at some point.
Well, if we all play that Mega Million every week, you never know. One of us might hit. At least we're all in a different state, right?
Yep,
spreading out the chances.
Absolutely. So let's get into this. We know there's going to be so many Untouchables here at the Hollywood Studios, and I know you guys are going to agree with that. So.
Yeah, absolutely. Actually, there's some of my favorite attractions are at the studios, or were at the studios, if we'll put it that way.
Well, some of mine are too, except for my body's getting too old for them.
Right.
So,
we'll see as we go, but I think we might surprise ourselves here.
No, well, I'm going to start off the way the Burn Bombs book works. I'm going to go from the front to the back of the studios, and it don't take long. Ba-dum-bum. But anyway, the very first ride that they have on the list is actually the Hollywood, the Twilight Zone Tower of Terror. What do you guys think? You go first, Dan. What do you think? Do you think the Tower of Terror is untouchable? What do you think they're going to do with it?
Yeah, I think it is untouchable. It's an attraction that I've never ridden because I'm a big baby. But other than that, though, I think that it was, one of those attractions that was, it was a lot of buzz around it when it came out. It's iconic in that you can see it pretty much from everywhere on property. And, those that like thrill rides, this is usually high up on their list. I think the looks of it, the ominous look in the background there, it's nicely themed, and for a thrill ride, it's one of the best Disney has to offer. So I don't see it changing. Could it be rethemed? I mean, I know they did that special. I don't know what they did a few years ago. They changed something on it.
They change periodically. They'll change the drops and stuff too, the drop sequences and stuff like that also.
Yeah, but I mean, I think that the theme, it's perfectly themed. Although, again, and we can talk about this, you guys may be more up to speed on this than I am. I mean, I think, the theme is perfect, and, the Rod Serling and all that stuff. But I had heard there was something with the rights, and they may lose it or may not re-up, and therefore they might change the theme. I don't know if you guys heard anything about that, but I think it's awesome. It should stay, and it will stay. That's my opinion.
And John, Bob, what say you? See, I'm going to call you John all night. So,
So from my standpoint, I agree with Dennis. I think they should leave it alone. I think I may have heard, something somewhere along the way that they would do something with a theme a bit. But honestly, I would leave it be. It's not something that Mrs. All in WADW will enjoy with me, but I have been known to fall up and down those elevators a number of times, up to and including I had one day that I was in Hollywood Studios, and I think I went on it like four times in a row. Tower of Terror is an enjoyable ride. I love the way that it's themed. I wouldn't touch it.
No, and I wouldn't touch it either, so I agree with you guys, because I love looking at it, especially at nighttime, walking over from the boardwalk or the Yacht and Beach Club and checking it out. I mean, I don't think it'll ever be touched because of the actual building, the actual massive, the undertaking of actually building that. I don't think it'll ever change. Now, I think it could, like you said, then could become, because the rumors out in Disneyland are Guardians of the Galaxy is going to be taking it over.
Mm-hmm.
And I could see something like that, because it seems like Disney's starting to trend towards, if they don't own it, they don't want it. And that's the way I'm starting to see them lean towards. I don't think the building will ever come down, and I hope the ride never does change as far as come down, but I could honestly see the Guardians of the Galaxy or something to do with Toy Story or Pixar or something like that take it over, or Guardians of the Galaxy with Marvel. Like, I could see, honestly, and we're going to get into Rock and Roller Coaster next, I could see Marvel taking over that whole area there and having Guardians of the Galaxy and Rock and Roller Coaster turn into some kind of Marvel, like
Iron Man or something.
Iron Man ride or something like that, where he's on, because he creates all those crazy bikes and planes and, choppers and everything's. So I could see something like Stark Industries taking over the Rock and Roller Coaster. So,
yeah, I mean, that would be pretty cool. And that's what I was going to say, with Toy Story Land and Star Wars Land and whatever else we're going to get at the studios. I mean, we don't really know, other than they're building those two lands, what else is coming. Maybe a retrofit would make sense. And excuse me, like you said, Marvel down in that end of the studios might work perfectly. So, yeah, I agree. That is not probable, but I think it's a scenario that makes some sense.
And we might as well just jump right to Rock and Roller Coaster. I'll let you go on that, Bob. I mean, what's your thoughts about the idea I just came up with, or what's your thoughts on the Rock and Roller Coaster? Untouchable or touchable?
No. Touchable in my mind. I mean, I'm an Aerosmith fan, but I mean, it's dated, right? And you know, one of the things that our son told me when, because he has gone over to Universal with friends, is that the thing he appreciated about Universal in comparison to the Disney parks was that a lot of the attractions were more contemporary to him, and he's in his mid-20s. And Aerosmith, what really feels for an older crowd. So I would retheme it. My initial thought would have been just theme it to some more contemporary band. It's interesting that you say Stark Industries, because I don't think that they can use the key Marvel characters in Walt Disney World. They can use them in like other Disney parks, but that whole agreement with regard to Universal is a little bit foggy to me. And I wonder if Iron Man isn't in the attraction, if they could still make Rock and Roller Coaster a Stark Industries type attraction like you described. That would actually be pretty interesting. Touching back to the Tower of Terror, though, I would be really disappointed if they turned that into a Guardians of the Galaxy attraction. I like the movie. I just don't know I think I would miss it in its current form.
I agree with you. I would too, but I could honestly see, and I would like to see it stay because I love the look of it. I can't take enough pictures of it. Every trip I walk down that lake there, or that river there, and I take 10 of the same picture all over again because I love the Tower of Terror. But I honestly could see that whole area changing for the theming. As I was getting, like I said, Tower of Terror is untouchable. I think it'll always be in some form that ride. But I don't think that Rock and Roller Coaster, I think it's untouchable for the next few years. But I think that agreement's going to slowly go away with Universal. I mean, I don't see them not using Marvel. I think the only reason we're not hearing anything is because of Avatar Land, Toy Story Land, and Star Wars Land. I don't think they're even going to... They're not talking about it. But I don't see that... I could see it sooner than later becoming an idea of something going down there. And I would love to see some kind of Iron Man ride. That's one of my dreams, if you understand what I'm saying. See, I can't wait for Marvel to come into the park.
Yeah, Iron Man's my favorite character too. I mean, that just would be outstanding if he.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure if I remember the agreement, Doug. I'm pretty sure it was either 10 or I might maybe even 20 years, but there was some clause in there that they couldn't use the base Marvel characters in the east of the Mississippi. I mean, they can use them in California. I think Disneyland Paris that got the new Iron Man attraction, or it's being built, or it will be released soon. I mean, you're right though. They're bringing the merchandise in. I may be wrong. Correct me if I'm wrong. I don't believe they do a Iron Man meet and greet, right? They haven't.
No, they don't. They don't have any of that yet.
But on the ships, they do. And see, exactly. That's the difference. They can use them in other Disney, on the ships, or maybe even in, Castaway Key, or whatever. But I believe they cannot put them in the theme parks until a certain date has passed, and I think it's still a few years out.
Yeah, but I guarantee you, and this is just me, the prognosticator who I am. There's drawings, there's plans, there's no way you can't tell me that they're chomping at the bit to get Marvel in these parks, because the way these movies, like look at Doctor Strangelove, it's breaking all kind of records. Every Marvel movie they put out there is just breaking records, and it's a juggernaut, this Marvel. That they, since Disney has bought it, it's become unbelievable. Every movie outdoes the next, and I cannot wait till all of them are in the parks because they need them. I mean, the ideas are endless with these Marvel characters for
right.
rides.
And like Bob said, it would bring a contemporary, franchise, for the younger generation. It would attract more of those folks to where, they may see Disney as, kind of old or, babyish or whatever you might call it. I mean, it would really cause a commotion when that happens. And believe me, I'm sure the first minute it can happen, it'll happen. It's just a matter of when.
And I'm just saying that for down there. I think something's going to happen around there with Rock and Roller Coaster or whatever, and I'm not 100% sure it will be Marvel there. Because I honestly think, and we've said this before and I'll say it again, I think all those Marvel characters would be phenomenal in future World at Epcot. Because if you had Doctor Strange and you had Stark Industries and Interventions, could you imagine that, Bob, how awesome that would be for future World?
Oh, absolutely.
It's like a perfect fit. It's like a match made in heaven. And Epcot, I mean, maybe that's why they're holding off and playing those shorts at, you know, Honey, I Shrunk the Kids, and they're not doing nothing with Imaginations, because I think, and event Interventions, it's pretty weird that, and Living with the Land, they took the skippers off. It's the bare, everything's the bare minimum up there right now.
Yeah,
isn't it funny how nothing's being done up there? And you can't tell me they don't know that all that stuff is long in the tooth.
No. In fact, in total, you could look at Epcot and start thinking about Epcot being the forgotten park. I mean, you know, if you think about the attractions that are in there, I mean, you know, no offense to Journey into Imagination is like, you know, on its second iteration, and it's not really the most popular of attractions that we, you know, Ellen, no offense, but
yeah.
I mean, Mission Space has never caught the guest's fancy as it was intended. A lot of people, myself included, are critical of Test Track. Not much going on in World Showcase other than taking out one of the best attractions they had and replacing it with something spruced up but not as good.
I agree with you on that, but at least that is eating up people. At least the kids do like it. I mean, we hate it, but it did give something attractive to that park. It's not attractive to me, you, or Dennis, but it is attractive because the last time I was there, I couldn't go there without it being 75 minutes.
So that I was going to ask, because I don't remember that we talked about it, or maybe we did, and I just don't remember your answer. But you guys were both down there, and you know, I've actually experienced the Frozen Ever After attraction. Did you guys get a chance to go on it?
We had no shot.
Yeah, it was 90 minutes when we checked a couple times. We didn't have a fast pass because we wanted to do Soarin', and we did not do it. I would have liked to have done it just to, you know, obviously experience it for myself, but it just we weren't going to wait an hour and a half for that.
I mean, I got to be honest with you. I mean, you know my feelings about Maelstrom. I mean, it's one of the two attractions in Walt Disney World that are retired and in the WDW Hall of Fame, but what really comes down to it, my initial reaction to Frozen Ever After was it was going to go by the way of the Little Mermaid ride in New Fantasyland and Magic Kingdom, which frankly you could get on, pretty much walk right on nowadays. Maybe I'm going to be wrong and it's going to be much more like Seven Dwarfs Mine Train Base. I got to be honest with you. I still can't get a fast pass for that attraction. I mean, you know, so maybe Frozen Ever After is going to have a little bit more lasting capability than I expected.
Absolutely. It's just the music, Bob. I mean, all the kids love it. And the point of it is we went there our first night there. Had extra magic hours at Epcot, and we watched the Illuminations, and we walked over there, and we were right by there. We were in China, and we walked over, and we got there, even with extra magic hours, with everybody kicked out of the park, it was still 75 minutes.
Wow.
We were hoping to walk on during extra magic hours, and we got over there. Me, Mark, and Jimmy looked at each other like, this ain't... We look creepy going on the three guys as it is,
right.
Letting them waiting in line for it. There's no way. And it was 75 minutes. So, and we couldn't get a fast pass the rest of the week for it because I wanted to see it for the show. I mean, I wasn't upset when I didn't, but I couldn't get a fast pass the entire week for it.
The only chance I had to get on it was I walked up at about like 10:45 a.m. and they were letting people into the queue. It was before World Showcase really should have been opened. And as it turned out, I think it took me about a 20-minute wait, but it was just sheer luck.
Yeah, and I they have been opening that before World Showcase opens, which most people don't know. They've been doing that. But I don't think most people know that, Bob. So you stumbled upon something that's been going on. They have been opening it early. They've been opening it with Future World a lot of the times now. At 9 a.m. when Future World opens. So, wander back there if you want to get on it. But let's get back to Hollywood Studios. We can't wait to leave the studios, can we?
We love Epcot so much. there.
So what's your guys' thought on Fantasmic?
Fantasmic. Let's see. Well, I'm going to say it's touchable because it's been there for so long, and I think the venue that it's in lends itself, obviously, to almost anything you could imagine. I personally love Fantasmic. I love the I don't like the theater seating and the hassle it is to get in and out of the place, but the actual show itself, once you're in your seat, if we're just talking about that part of it, I think it's a great show, and I think it's still relevant. And you know, Mickey Mouse as the star, and you know, all the other characters there. It's a good show just like it is, and I don't think it needs to change, but I think it will change, so it is touchable. However, you know, I think some other show will just go in there in its place because of the theater that they have there. But, it'll change at some point, just like, you know, Bite My Tongue, Illuminations will change and Wishes will change. Eventually, something else will be there.
Okay, I just got to tell you this now. It's against the rules to ever say Illuminations is leaving again on this show.
We can't
put that out there.
We
cannot put that out there in the universe. So just so you know, Illuminations will play every night at bar closing. So what do you think about Fantasmic, Bob? Touchable or untouchable?
I would say touchable. I agree with Dennis. I can see them certainly changing the show around, but honestly, I don't know that I would be so sad if I saw them do something completely different with that whole area. The thing I don't like, and you know, maybe I'm being a little nitpicky in this, but I really don't like having an attraction where I have to go and sit for like, I don't know, half hour, 45 minutes, an hour before the attraction starts just to make sure I have a seat.
Well, what you got to do is what we're going to be going over at the end of the show when we're doing the polls for the Universal Studios. Sit down, you do a meet, you eat your dinner and get your voucher to go sit in there. That's what I do. So
I just can't plan that far in advance. We do so many things by seat of our pants, just sort of like what we feel like doing on that day. You know, the last time we did Fantasmic, I think it was probably about 2 or 3 years ago. It was just Mary and myself, and you know, we enjoyed it, but it was kind of one of those things when we walked away and he said, okay, been there, done that. We're probably good for the next 10 years.
Yeah, see, I really like the show, but I agree with you guys. It's touchable. I like the show. I'd like to see them change it to something else. If they do retheme that area, I'm all in. Again, we usually do dinner because we like the Brown Derby, and so it's really good for us. It's a place. It's kind of like one of me and Brenda's to Dennis California Grill. So it's not a problem for us to do the dinner package with that because we look forward to that. But I wouldn't go to the show anymore without the dinner package because I don't feel like waiting in line for, like you said, a half hour for 45 minutes to make sure you get a seat. They cut down the times and the dates, and you never know when it's going to go on or when it's not playing or when it is playing. It's such a hassle to see it. So I hope they touch it and do something better with it.
Yeah, I mean, I'd put it like this. I mean, I wouldn't put it in the class of Indiana Jones, but I think that for us multi-time park goers that have seen it probably a half a dozen times at least, your patience grows thin. You don't want to invest the time, like Bob said, to, you know, they kind of put you through a, you know, funnel you in there. There's one way in, one way out, basically, and it's not a very pleasant experience. However, somebody going to Disney World for the first time it's a must see, and looking at it through the eyes of a first time, you know, Walt Disney World visitor, it's a very highly rated attraction. And I just remember how I felt after the first time I saw it. I thought it was one of the most amazing things I had ever seen.
Oh,
but
with
again,
all the show on the water and everything like that, me and Brenda looked at each other like, holy moly, how did they get all that to play on that water screen?
Right. But after the sixth and seventh and eighth time, you know, you've, you know, like Bob said, you've been there, done that. And it's sad to say that we're so, you know, spoiled, I guess, of seeing these world-class multi-million dollar attractions that we can, you know, put our nose up to something like that. But it's just the way it is. It takes a lot to impress us, and we have our favorite things we like to do when we're down there. And unfortunately, Fantasmic doesn't make the cut anymore.
Well, the thing of it is I think that, and I know people disagree with me on this, and if you do, send all your emails to itsallinwdw. Now, anyway.
Those won't go anywhere.
Anyway. But anyway, the thing that makes Illuminations, which everybody does know, is, and why it's sacred in my heart, is the music. And the whole score, the whole thing. It's, for some reason, Fantasmic has never caught me like that. I enjoy the show, but I don't hear the music from Fantasmic, and it makes my head turn all the time. Or make me happy the way that Illumination does, where I tell you guys at work, I will play Illumination sometimes to cheer me up. So it's right. Like, it don't have the following that does. But I will miss it, and I did think it was incredible the first time I seen, when I seen all that, the projection onto the water, I was like, only Disney could do this crap. You know, and it was amazing. And staying in that part of the park, Beauty and the Beast live on stage, you guys, what do you think about that?
Touchable.
I would say touchable too. Go ahead, Dennis.
No, I was just gonna say I enjoy or enjoyed the show. I think that it's, you know, on par or very close to what you would see at a theater on Broadway in New York or something like that. I think that it's surprising how good it is once you get in there. But, you know, it's, again, one of those things, if you've seen it two and three and four and five times, it kind of loses its appeal. But I think for what it is and the job that the actors and actresses do and the performers do in there, it's a great show, and I'd highly recommend it. But you know, I would think one of the more contemporary Disney you know, movies or shows or something will eventually go in there, and it, you know, won't be Beauty and the Beast. It might be, you know, one of the Pixar films or something like that, and I think that would be a good change up too. So the in its current state as Beauty and the Beast, it's definitely touchable, and I feel it will change sooner than later.
And I was on that same boat as you, Dan, for a while. I think it is touchable, but I think it's going to be a little later now than sooner. And the reason I'm saying that is that they just released the movie trailer for the new Beauty and the Beast.
So I think it might have.
Right? Yeah, it's a lot. Yeah, and it's with Emma Watson, the girl from Harry Potter and the whole nine yards. So I think it might pump new, you know, blood into that attraction or that play. And I agree with what you said. It is awesome. I've seen it a couple times. I like it, but I won't go back. Like, I seen Lion King on our last trip. Mm-hmm. And the Lion King, no matter how many times you see that show pumps you up. You're happy you went in there. I've never left the Lion King saying I'm not going back. I say it, I forgot how awesome this was.
Right.
Yeah, because the music and the monkeys jumping up and down and flipping, and I see the stilt walkers, which, you know, remind me of being at work. But the whole thing is, if the Lion King live on stage, don't put a smile on your face, there's something wrong with you. Beauty and the Beast is more of a sad, laid back, you know what I'm saying. It's uplifting. It's good with Lumiere, the whole nine yards, but it don't have the same punch.
Right.
That what Beauty and that Lion King does. But I think with them releasing the new movie and the whole nine yards, I think it'll be around for a few more years, but I wouldn't mind. I wouldn't be upset if it went away.
So. I agree.
But next up, we'll go to. Well, speaking of Indiana Jones, epic stunt spectacular. I could cut this off in the bud. What do you guys think? If anybody is listening to this show, I don't think there's any of the three of us that says it's untouchable.
Yeah, I mean,
definitely touchable. I mean, even going back to Beauty and the Beast, I mean, Mrs. All and WDW and I aren't really big show people. So whether it's, you know, Beauty and the Beast, which honestly, I don't think they'll change. I think it's touchable, but I don't think they'll change it because it's, you know, one of the signature movies. But Indiana, I mean,
I'll cut you off, Bob.
It's going to get swallowed up by Star Wars, as far as I'm concerned.
Absolutely. I was going to say to you, I will volunteer right now on my next trip to start ripping it apart for them to get it out of there. I will volunteer to do some charity work and start tearing down that attraction. Because, dude, the last time I was there, I forgot it was even there.
It's a mental block. You just block it out of your mind and blow right by it.
Absolutely. We walked by, and all of a sudden, I seen the stone go rolling. I'm like, the ball rolling. I'm like, oh, my God, it might get him. I mean, it's like, I'm so overseeing that.
I mean, we covered this in a few shows back with all the construction going on over at the Wide World of Disney. Now they're going to have a place to put all the cheerleaders and dance competition and all that stuff that they use that venue for when they're not running the show. I think that and like Bob said, with Star Wars Land encroaching on the on that area of the park, I think it's ripe to be taken over by something else. I mean, that's a prime piece of real estate, a huge piece of real estate, and I can't imagine that they would keep that, 15 years? It's got to be at least, if not more, that attraction's been there?
Oh, it's been there since I was there in 97 is the first time I've seen it.
So it's over 20 then.
Oh, yeah, it's probably, and it was there for a while when we seen it. So it's probably about 25, 30 years old. When the park opened, I think it was there.
Yeah, I know a lot of people were kind of using the same rationale that we kind of use with Beauty and the Beast. Aren't they making another or a new Indiana Jones movie, or did, or they are? And, you know, some people thought maybe that would breathe new life into it. I don't know if I agree with that, but I hope it changes. There's something new needs to go in there.
Well, either that or freshen up the show. Doug, didn't you tell me you're an experienced contractor. I think you told me at one point when we talked about Indiana Jones that it was going to cost some just humongous amount of money to tear that all out of there. Is it still alive because Disney just doesn't want to put the capital to taking it out?
No, I think it's still alive, like me and Dem were saying on other shows. Because they use it for all the cheerleader competitions. They use it for all kind of stuff that goes on at the studios. So it was a multi-purpose area. But now that, like that Dennis said, with the whole Wide World of Sports deal and all. No, I don't, Bob, that won't be that bad to get out of there. They'll bulldoze that right over. I don't think that'll be a problem. I mean, the Streets of America is harder to take down than that would be.
So. Yeah, I mean, you got to figure they got propane lines and all kinds of infrastructure down. But, but anything can be done. I mean, obviously, it's just metal and, facades and stuff like that. And, depending on what would go in there, maybe they can utilize some of that infrastructure that's, underground or, wherever it's fed from to run all of the, the props for that show right now.
Yeah, I honestly hope it's touchable, and like I said, I think we'd all volunteer to help get out of it, to get rid of it, to get something else new in there.
Yeah, yeah. And again, not to go on and on, but we all shared our opinion. I mean, the first, again, same thing like with Fantasmic. First time I saw it, I was blown away by that show. But again, once you know all the jokes and, they pretty much haven't changed the script, in all the years I've been seeing it. And, once you know all the surprises, it kind of, like you said, Doug, you wish you had a smartphone 20 years ago, all that time you spent sitting in that stadium waiting for the show to start.
Yeah, exactly. It's just not one of those rides that's ever become, like, historic to me or one of my favorites, like Pirates. Like, Pirates, I know where everything is 100 times, and I could do the – I've never been to the park where I haven't done that if it was open.
Right. Yeah.
It's not a cult following for me.
Right. Well, like if Bob said, if they could come up with an alternate ending or a scene that's different that you get every once in a while, something to freshen it up might, breathe some life into it. But like you said earlier, Doug, right now it's a people eater. That's for sure. Right?
No, absolutely, but not for me. Up next, guys, where are we going next? Let's see. How about we go over to the – and we know this is going to say – I mean, I do. I mean, as with everything going on right now, with the whole Star Wars, the Star Tour, the Adventure Continues, Star Tours, what's your thoughts on that?
It just bounces us around so much. So we're going down for Thanksgiving, the two of us, and I was making some fast passes over the weekend, And I asked Mary, I said, do you want to go on Star Tours? And she said, no, it just jumps us around too much at this point. It really enjoyable. I love it. I love the ride. I love the fact that it's a bit different each time you go on it. I definitely, if I would do anything to improve it, it would be add more scenes so you have even more variety than the ride already provides.
I think that's going to happen when the new movies start to be released. When the Star Wars Land opens, I think they're going to add to that to even make it better.
And I hope they do. And really, at the end of the day, even though we don't go on it that much anymore, I definitely think it's one that fits in nicely with the whole theming of Star Wars Land or whatever they're going to call that. I would leave it alone.
Yeah, I agree. I say it's untouchable. I mean, might they change the scenes? Yes, and do some renovations to it, you know, possibly. But given the size and scope of the attraction, and given it does reside in or near where they're saying they're building Star Wars Land, I mean, it's perfect. It's perfect. I mean, it's themed to Star Wars. I agree with you also, Doug, that as the new movies release over the next half a dozen years or so, it seems like a fairly easy thing to, you know, do some more, movies and endings and freshen it up. I mean, it did kind of breathe life into it when they released the new, update a few years ago. They had people waiting in line and, social media was all a Twitter, no pun intended, about, these new endings. Myself, I wrote it once on this last trip. And, I have to say, too, that in previous trips, certain movies do give me a little queasy stomach, and for that reason I wasn't really looking forward to go on it, but the movie that we happened to see this time, it didn't bother me at all. I was fine, so I was glad that was the case. But yeah, I enjoy that. That's a cool it's a cool attraction, and like Doug and I have covered many times, I don't particularly care for Star Wars. I mean, I've watched it, not my favorite thing, but to me the ride is exhilarating and thrilling enough regardless of what the theme is, and it could be anything, and as long as you're in that little vehicle they have there, and it's pretty lifelike and you feel like you're flying and moving around, it's a cool attraction.
Yeah, I enjoy the attraction. I think it's untouchable. Now, I didn't go on it last trip. I let Mark and Jimmy go on it, and I used the time while they were riding that to roam around the park and take pictures and go back and talk to some of the painters and the drywall guys working on Pizza Rizzo back there. So
yeah.
That's what I did. I was more interested in seeing that, the restaurant, than I was going on Star Tours. But with everything going on in the parks, I think they're going to update it a little more, but I do think it's untouchable. It's not going anywhere anytime soon.
Agreed.
So I guess the big question is, did you get some sawdust pizza at Pizza Rizzo?
No, they didn't give me any sawdust pizza, but I did get taught to some guys about work down there. I'm trying to plant the seed to get down there, guys.
Yeah,
you see, Dennis, that's where we're going to both be in trouble, Dennis, because Doug's going to get down there first, and it's just going to be miserable.
Well, and plus they didn't have any sawdust because they're using it all over at Harambe Marketplace for them sausages anyway.
Spoiler, folks. Spoiler. That post is coming sometime next week.
I couldn't help.
Good call. Holy moly. I think I'd rather eat sawdust. I'd rather dip a hot dog in some fresh sawdust. At least I get the paint. At least I have some pine taste.
Oh my. I'll tell you what, we listened to that show driving from Bowling Green, Kentucky to Nashville, Tennessee last Saturday, and you had my wife in stitches.
Well, good. That's our goal. If we keep Mary happy, we're doing a good job. Right? We keep Mary happy, we know we're doing good.
So, she is our number one fan.
Absolutely.
Well, maybe alongside the two Mrs. Main Streets. Well, the three Mrs. Main Streets, so.
There you go.
Right, yep.
You got to stay politically correct.
Good play.
Now, continuing back in that area, how about Muppets? What do you guys think about that?
Yeah, Muppets. For me, that's borderline. I love the Muppets. Well, I'm not going to say I love the Muppets. I enjoy the Muppets. I think they're funny. I enjoyed that show many, many times. You know, the pre-show area is a kind of an attraction in itself with all the props, you know, and the guy making fun of the tourist and all that stuff. So, again, the first couple times you see it, it's an amazing show. But as we all know, as 3D movies go, that's very, very long in the tooth. I hope it stays and they reshoot a new movie and keep it Muppet themed. I'd like to see that. I think that's what's going to happen, especially with Pizza Rizzo coming on board. If they would have rethemed it to something else or kept it Toy Story, I think Muppets would have been in question. But I'm going to say it's untouchable that the franchise, although disappointing at the box office, the last movie, and not as much buzz as they would have hoped, but you know, with the Muppets showing up over in the Magic Kingdom now, and you know, I think there's a fan following a large enough for them to warrant having that attraction in one of their parks. So I think it'll stay, and it's untouchable.
So for me, my first reaction would have been to say, okay, I enjoy the Muppets too, whether it's that movie or a spruced up, fresher movie. Either one are great. My first reaction would have been to say to find a place for it in Magic Kingdom and move it, because it's going to be swallowed up by Star Wars and Toy Story. However, they went and made Pizza Planet Rizzo. So obviously they want to keep a little bit of a Muppets theme there. So I actually would keep the attraction, either freshen up the movie, leave the movie. Either one's fine by me. I mean, it is an enjoyable experience. They've got the pizza place. I would actually like to see them do something to expand the Muppets a little bit beyond those two different places, so that it actually had a place in Hollywood Studios or whatever it's going to be called at some point, that it, you know, can at least hold its own with a Star Wars, with the what we think is going to be the, you know, just the sheer size of a Star Wars and a Toy Story section. I just don't want to see it get lost in the mix.
Yeah, I think it's going to stay. I hope the same. I think they do. I think it is untouchable, especially like you guys both said about Pizza Rizzo being there now. And I'm shocked, because of, you know, I thought Star Wars was going to swallow that area up. And once they did Pizza Rizzo, it kind of like, okay, they're going to keep Mama Melrose, and they're going to keep Pizza Planet, and they're going to keep that whole area intact the way it is. I can't see a change now with the money they invested in this. But they do have to update the movie. They have to do something. I love that movie. My favorite part of the whole thing is the beginning of it. I like the beginning, and when you're waiting in line more, all the jokes there, and I do the movie itself now.
Yeah, you're right. The movie they show, and again, there's, I don't know, dozens of different props and different things, Annette Funicello and all that stuff, and our net full of Jello, I think it is, right? The net that's up there. I mean, there's all kinds of crazy stuff there. I mean, I again, we covered this on an earlier show. I really do believe if the Muppet movie, the last one anyways, did better, I think they would have expanded that land, or there would be a bigger presence of Muppets, but it basically flopped. I mean, it did all right, but it didn't, you know, it wasn't, I don't think it hit the marks that Disney was hoping. And, you know, it's like anything else, like we're talking about Marvel earlier, you know, that's so hot. Anything they put Marvel anywhere down there, you know, people are going to go gaga over it. You know, even if they did a new movie of Muppets, yeah, people would be a little excited, but, you know, I don't think there'd be much of a buzz about it, unfortunately, because, you know, they're just, you know, they're not on TV regularly now. That series got canceled, and the movies weren't that much of a success. Excuse me. So again, the younger crowd, and you know, people haven't grown up on the Muppets like we did when they were on every week. And you know, it's just us old, you know what, that remember that stuff. So I don't know. It's going to be tough.
Yeah, I think it's here to stay though for a while, and I hope they do something with it. Now, what do you guys think about, you know, the whole area there? How do you think they're going to incorporate it? It's going to be weird, though. The way the wall is up back there and all, you're going to basically be walking through that area to get to Star Wars Land. It seems like it's weird how Muppet seems to be right in the middle of it, don't it, though?
Yeah. That's what I mean about being lost, right? So, I mean, honestly, if they're going to make that kind of a commitment to that particular, you know, franchise, then I think that they need to make a little bit bigger commitment, at least make it so that when you're walking through from either, you know, entryway or from, you know, the center hub over towards Star Wars, that you're not seeing, oh, look, there's a Muppets attraction and a Muppet restaurant. Oh, look, now we see Star Speeders. I mean, it's, you know, it just, I think it's going to get lost in that.
Yeah, I think they'll do an okay. I get what you're saying, Bob. I think I don't think Disney will spend all this money and drop the ball to where you can see the two together. But it is going to be weird. I think it's going to be tucked and hidden in there. I follow what you're saying. But Mama Melrose is a very popular restaurant, and I mean, I like it. It's okay. It's not my favorite on the top of the list. And I thought they would change that to something to do with Muppets too, didn't you guys? Being sort of kind of making that little courtyard there.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, again, it all depends on how big the footprint for, you know, Star Wars Land is going to be. I mean, who knows? Maybe it'll be commandeered or, you know, changed over to something Star Wars related. But yeah, I mean, it could go either way because, you know, Muppets, you know, land, if you will, or whatever, you know, I guess I wouldn't call it a land, but where the footprint is, where the Muppets reside now is, you know, it's going to be a transition zone, like Bob was saying. So, you know, it could go either way. It could, you know, anything from being gone to, you know, potentially being overtaken by Star Wars.
Yeah, if they maybe they'll redo the movie to be Muppets in Space or something.
Hey, there you go.
I think those three are there to stay because of the way all the they've spent a ton of money on that area. So, what's your guys' thought on Ariel over there? Do you guys? I know you rode that 6-7 times on the last trip, didn't you? Voyager to Little Mermaid.
Yeah, I mean myself, I haven't done it the last couple of trips. Again, it's kind of the same as the attractions we mentioned earlier. When we first went, we really enjoyed the show. My daughter was of an age where, you know, she enjoyed it. And, you know, it's a real short show.
It takes you longer to get on that ride than it does to see it.
It's like, you know, they tell the story of the Little Mermaid in about 3 minutes, it seems like. But, yeah, I mean, it's long in the tooth. The technology is old. You know, you know, is touchable and will be touched soon. I mean, with Ariel's presence over in the Magic Kingdom now, there's really, really no need to have that, you know, subpar attraction now that you have the, you know, technology and audio animatronics that we have over at the Ariel ride in Magic Kingdom.
Bob, I know you love it.
Oh. Replace.
He's speechless.
Yeah, there you go. No, replace. I agree with you, Dan. I just think it's gone as soon as they figure out. I mean, as soon as Toy Story Land starts, I think that's gone.
Yeah, it's a placeholder right now. That, you know, people got to do
that whole. That whole animation courtyard's going to be gone within the next. Launch bay. I don't even think Star Wars Launch Bay stays there. We could talk about that real quick, but I only think that's a holding place too until Toy Story Land begins. Yeah. I just think that's there because they had to do something before then everybody got restless with there's not enough to do in this park.
Right. Yeah.
They had to put something over there.
You're right. Go ahead, Bob.
Well, I was just going to agree. I mean, same as you, Dennis. I mean, Launch Bay's there, but that can't be its permanent resting place. I mean, if they start, like, putting Star Wars stuff haphazard across the park in just random places and it's not, like, all in one particular land, that's just going to be regrettable from my viewpoint. I mean, I envision that whole area, if it's not going to be part of Toy Story, may even be part of something that's as yet been unannounced.
Yeah, because that could hook right back around to where we were talking about with Rock and Roller Coaster and that whole area. You know what I'm saying? They could very easily connect those two areas together.
I specifically
come right on around to each other.
Yep. You absolutely could. It kind of butts it as it is now. But I'm 90% sure I recall when that information came out about Launch Bay that it was a temporary housing. It was going to be used to kind of show, I think they would even talked about as this kind of unfolds, they may show the, you know, a model or something of Star Wars Land once it starts to come into being and all of the attractions get solidified and all that. So, that's just there to, you know, for a Star Wars presence to be in the park. Actually, I don't even know. I didn't go down back there. Is that store, the Star Wars store, still up and running in the back of the park, way in the back?
No, I don't remember seeing it, Dennis. Yeah. So I'd be lying if I told you it was.
Okay. Yeah, I had.
I was back in the area, like I said, where I went back at the end of Toy Story, so I could see where the part where Toy Story Land is going to be, where the walls are and all. I checked all that out, and then I went all the way around by Pizza Rizzo and that whole back area where Streets of America were, and took pictures of where all the walls were up, but I didn't see any of the Star Wars. And then I shed a tear when I seen the Writer Stop closed.
Is this the sign still up?
So when you guys
the building's still there, but it made me sad.
So when you guys were in Hollywood Studios, did you go into either Starring Roles or to the Trolley Car Cafe? Do they have the carrot cake cookie?
I went into Starring Roles Cafe just to roam around and take pictures. My brother-in-law and my godson, they got a sandwich there and at the Trolley Car Cafe, and they got Starbucks. They got drinks. But I didn't go in Starring Roles.
Yeah, I didn't go in either, Bob, so I can't answer your question.
Trolley Car, I went in because it's awesome looking. I like the look of Trolley Car, so I went inside.
If the listeners out there know enough in Hollywood Studios to confirm that the carrot cake cookie has been retired, then I would like to know that, because it's going to be the third member of the Hall of Fame.
Oh, jeez.
That is good. I have to admit, that carrot cake cookie is awesome. Or was awesome. Hopefully it is awesome, and they're selling it somewhere else, like Bob's alluding to.
Well, speaking of things that you would miss, what do you guys both think about the Great Movie Ride?
Great Movie Ride. I think the fact that we think it's going to somewhat stay Hollywood Studios or some version of, with separate lands in it. I'm going to vote, I guess, or I'm going to put forth my opinion based on what I hope happens, and I hope that it's untouchable. I think that we've been a little unsure of that over the past 18 months. For a while there, we thought it was definitely gone. Then we thought it was definitely staying, and with the movie company there that, Turner Classic Movies that mm-hmm. is sponsoring it now, I think it's likely to stay, and I hope it stays. I mean, some of the scenes are hokey and could be updated. We all agree. The space one there, what's that movie with, what's her face?
Alien.
Right. I mean, that's
what's
one.
What's her face?
Yeah. that's one that I think, you know, we all would agree could go. I mean, but there's some classic stuff in there. I mean, Wizard of Oz is kind of creepy as it is. It's pretty awesome. I mean, I really enjoy that scene. But, you know, being representing movies, you know, there's so much you can do there. The sky's the limit. And, I hope it stays. It's a pretty awesome ride, in my opinion.
Johnny, go ahead. Bobby, I mean, go ahead. Sorry.
No worries. So from my standpoint, I may surprise you both, but I'm going to say touchable. And the only reason I say that is I love the latest refurbishment where Turner Classic Movies has joined up with Disney to make the queue a heck of a lot more interesting. Even really some of the narration through the ride. I say touchable because I think they could do a lot more with sprucing up some of the scenes. Some of them I'd love to keep.
You're saying it's untouchable. You think it's going to stay the Great Movie Ride, but you could see them upgrading it.
Yeah.
So how me and Dan both agree with you on that, I think.
Yeah, I would kick it up a notch, but maybe a little bit more extreme than what Dennis was describing. There's a couple scenes in it I'd love to keep. I mean, you know, we talked about how old the Indiana Jones attraction has become. How old has the little, you know, skit within the Great Movie Ride become with regard to either the, you know, the cowboys or the gangster and the Indiana Jones scene? I mean, I know that they can, Disney can do a lot better to kick that up, you know, to a much more enjoyable experience. And to Dennis's point, I mean, Sigourney Weaver in Alien, I mean, that's again, really dated. And you know, how about creating a Star Wars scene out of that? Or even a Star Trek scene out of that. I mean, something that's, you know, a little bit more contemporary, I think would be, I would just make that attraction much more of a must-do than it is already.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I agree with you with Star Wars. I don't think Star Trek will ever step foot in there because of the Star Wars deal. But I agree with you. Like, Alien, if you went to any of the kids nowadays, they wouldn't even know what the heck Alien is. And I'm talking, does your daughter know what Alien is, Dan, really? Does she seen the movie? I bet she hasn't.
Probably not. Probably
exactly.
Not.
But the point is, like, the Wizard of Oz scene is phenomenal, but everybody knows the Wizard of Oz, so it'll always be relevant. So they need to get rid of anything that's not relevant. Like, I think Humphrey Bogart with, you know, here's looking at you, I think all that is relevant. John Wayne is an icon. Clint Eastwood is an icon. I've talked to my nephew and my godsons about him. I wouldn't see Jimmy tomorrow and go, oh, my God, you got to talk about Alien.
Right, but
I do tell him about the Duke and stuff like that.
Yeah. But I mean, like the jungle scene, the Tarzan one is ridiculous.
Oh, that gotta go.
Yeah.
That gotta go.
And that's a huge scene.
Yeah.
I mean, the Indiana Jones stuff could go. The horror sequence could go. I mean, I know they're trying to talk about the different genres of movies, but I mean, really, do we need to take a stroll through the history of movies, or do we want to see some of the movies that are contemporary to, you know, to the guests so that they can.
I agree with you, Bob. And what I would like to see them do, and tell me if you guys think this makes sense. Like, you know how phenomenal the Wizard of Oz scene is? Mm-hmm. And you get to spend some time in there to really enjoy it. I think they should do away with some of the garbage and condense it and make, like, maybe they do like a big Star Wars area where you're enthralled in it for a little while, if you understand what I'm saying. Do a big scene. We're kind of like the Wizard of Oz. Like, get rid of some of the junk that's in between and make something else that makes a statement. There's not many. I enjoy the ride. My brother-in-law loved it because he don't remember. He hasn't been on it since the upgrade. And he loved it. But the point is, don't you think there needs to be a few more statements on that ride instead of just a couple?
Yeah, and I mean, one of the most ridiculous things in my mind is the fact that they make a point to point out the Sorcerer's Apprentice, and the representation of Mickey Mouse as the the apprentice is a movie playing on the wall. I mean, there should be an elaborate scene that, you know, talks about the Sorcerer's Apprentice or whatever. I mean, Mickey Mouse is the, you know, he's the boss. He's the star of
he's
the whole.
He's a big cheese.
Yeah, I mean,
big cheese.
I'd almost want them not to mention it at all than to mention it and give it such a lousy representation. I don't know if you guys feel the same way, but, you know, give me a scene, you know, something like they do with Mary Poppins or, you know, something like that that's, you know, it does it justice, I guess.
Oh, absolutely. That's how I feel. I would love to see, like, where you go, know how long, because it takes you, like, I wouldn't even mind sitting in the Wizard of Oz for a couple more minutes, because I enjoy seeing all the little munchkins pop up and all that stuff. I would enjoy, if they did a Star Wars thing where R2-D2 comes out, C-3PO comes out, a couple other of the, of the characters come out. You know what I'm saying? Something like that. Like, I think they make a lot of the scenes too chintzy.
Yeah, and
I'd rather see them put some effort into a couple more scenes and do away with the chintzy ones.
Right. And, you know, like you were saying with Humphrey Bogart and, you know, some of the older actors, I mean, right, they're trying to show different genres, but there's going to come a point where nobody looking at this is ever going to would have been alive when these actors, you know, did their thing. So it's going to be a tough balance. Maybe you do like a a you know throw some
a montage
of,
film,
yes,
put them all together
with the
in
Duke
a montage
and with Clint Eastwood and all that. So yeah, you give a nod to the past and you know you have those great animatronics, but you don't have a whole scene because they're really taking up too much space for you know what the average guest you know going on that attraction you know even knows about them. I mean, you and I and Bob, of course, you know we've seen Clint Eastwood and we've seen all the westerns and you know we can relate to that. But you know some 20 something is probably you know who's this cowboy? You know they have no idea.
Yeah, and how about they like Bob was saying or whatever? How about they bring the whole live action scene maybe up to something from 2000 or the 90s? I mean, yeah, I mean those kids, half the kids have no idea who the cowboy or the gangster is. If you, they don't know who Muggsy is. My godson, not my godson, but I could see my little kid looking at you like, who the heck's he talking about?
Yeah.
So in
you
other
know, maybe
words,
they do so the Sopranos words, or something.
So in other words, we're saying that it's untouchable, but it's touchable.
Mm-hmm. It needs to be spruced up, but I want it to stay there because I love the concept of it. I just think they need to update it even more.
Yeah, and, you know, not to beat a dead horse, but, you know, I thought that, you know, depending on if they change the name of the park, I thought might have a stake in the fate of that attraction. But if it's going to stay movie-related, Hollywood-related in some way, then I think that is a nice centerpiece attraction with all of the enhancements or improvements that we just spoke about.
Well, let's go on before we have a two-hour podcast. We still got to get to the... the food section of the program. Let's go real quick because I know you guys will kind of be long-winded on this, and yous both always are.
Oh,
but anyway, I'm just kidding.
Wow.
The one man's dream with Walt. What do you guys think about that?
Yeah,
I think it has a place in the park somewhere. I mean, whether it's in Magic Kingdom, we create it there, or move it.
How do you like this idea that I came up with another show, and I think Dennis agreed with me on this? I think it's touchable, and I think it will be moved. What do you think about they put it at Disney Springs so everybody can enjoy it, and then they could put, like, anything that's new coming to the parks, they could put in it, in the exhibit, to show the building of it. Like, know how they do the Tree of Life, and they did the California Adventure. They show all the mock-ups and all that. How about they show you the mock-ups of Avatar Land, what's coming up, like a
preview
display.
Center.
The preview center, yes, exactly. Dan, what do you guys think about that?
That sounds like a great idea to me. I mean, I hadn't heard that before, but, I mean, makes a lot of sense. I mean, whether it's, as I was saying, I think that it needs to fit in the park somewhere. Whether it's at Magic Kingdom, they find a different place in Hollywood Studios, or like you just suggested, Disney Springs, it needs to remain. I just don't know if it's going to stay in the same place it is right now.
Yeah, I think it's gone from there, and I even think Dennis agrees with that everything going on with Pixar Place. I just don't see that happening. But tell me how awesome it would be, Dan, if it was in the Springs, in the Landing, or one of those areas where, I mean, what a great place to sell. I mean, to sell your stuff. How about they haven't had the deal yet with Disney Quest? They're going back and forth about this whole NBA thing. How about building? It was announced now?
I just heard a Disney Quest is going to remain as Disney Quest. I just saw it a couple days ago.
Okay, but now that they're having all the problems with that, because that's where I was going, because they were saying that it's going back and forth with the NBA, how about they just now, being if it didn't go through, you're confirming it to me, how about they put One Man's Dream in that building? This way, it's a preview center, and you understand what I'm saying? Because that's a monster building, and it's long in the tooth in there. I would like to see them convert it and turn it into like a Disney show place, where they get a preview center, like you said, to promote all the parks. New hotels coming. You put up the signs and sell the new hotel. A new restaurant's coming, or new anything. You put it in the preview center in there, and then have One Man's Dream a part of that.
Yeah, I mean, I like that idea, Doug, but in my heart of hearts, and I know I made this point last time, in my view, Walt's story and Walt's memorabilia belongs in the Magic Kingdom. Now, I'm not going to say it would fit easily in there, but I think in Exposition Hall, it's being utilized they're wasting that space in there. I mean, they're doing meet and greets in there, I believe. I went in there the other day. In the perfect world, you know, maybe they couldn't get all of that in there, but I think that Walt's presence on Main Street USA, again, forgetting about, you know, how it would fit and what would have to be moved, I think that would be the primo place, and I think it would give Walt due respect. I love your idea about Disney Springs, don't get me wrong, and it's much more practical. And in fact, I was going to say, when all those stores that nobody's going in because, you know, they're too expensive, when them start to open up and the leases aren't renewed, there'll be plenty of real estate to put something in there, like you were saying, you know, a year or 18 months down the road.
I hear you. I think, and I agree, I think if it would have been put there at Magic Kingdom, I think it would have been there to begin with. So I'm hoping, the reason I'm also saying Springs, because I hope its legacy continues, because I don't think it's going to go back to the Magic Kingdom, but I wouldn't mind seeing it there. Go ahead, Bob, I'm sorry.
Well, I was going to say, you know, from my standpoint, you know, the most alarming thing I just heard was that Disney Quest is staying open. Hopefully that means it's staying open, and it's staying open with some massive rework, because it's certainly not, at least in my opinion, worth extra money for an entry ticket.
Yeah,
Bob, that's just staying open until something else buys it.
Yeah, I apologize, guys. I did what I shouldn't do. I just read the headline and didn't read the detail, but I'll try to find that story before we record on Sunday. Or it'll probably be in the news anyways. But you may be right, Doug. I'm sure that, you know, if that deal does get ironed out with the NBA or some other you know, company coming in, they'd do it. But short of that, I agree, Bob. Just leaving it open as is, you know, I wouldn't spend 2 cents in there, and you know, it's a shell of its former self. But again, you know, they've been saying they're closing, so why would they invest in it? But if this is going to be there any length of time going forward, they need to, you know, especially with everything that's new down there. I mean, that's going to be the ugly stepsister there, you know, that building and everything in it.
Yeah, that it's going to go. It's gone. It's just waiting for the next person to purchase it. It ain't even my opinion, it's a fact, because everything else is brand new, shiny, beautiful. They're not going to leave that building look the way it is. It's just not going to happen. But last but not least, and I can answer for all of us saying it's untouchable, is Toy Story Midway Mania. That's not going anywhere. Can we all agree on that?
I agree. Yeah, no, I think it's, you know, it's a knee attraction, very popular. It's still got huge wait times, and fast passes are hard to come by. So,
and they just put a third track in. I mean, it's not going anywhere. And we actually got to ride the third track this time.
Awesome.
It was awesome. And it was really awesome, because to me it was the same but seemed different. But it was even cool going into a new loading area. But even you, Bob, have to agree it's not going anywhere. I mean, it's the centerpiece of the new Toy Story Land.
Well,
land is Toy Story.
Yeah, well, I was just going to ask you if you guys think, when all said and done, it's still going to be the centerpiece, or do you think that some of the new things that they build in there are going to steal his thunder a little bit?
I think they'll be as good, but I don't think that ride will ever lose its. I love it because it's so competitive. I kicked both of their butts again. My godson was talking smack. I crushed him. He couldn't believe the old man still could pull that trigger that quick. The last finale, he was hanging around a little bit, but when it got into the double time points, the kid went down.
Yeah,
and I'm not ashamed to brag. And I even took him out on Buzz Lightyear.
Yeah, wow. You know
the
what?
Old man still rocks.
Dennis, I think I remember that day because Doug showed up at Laguna Bar and his arm was in a sling.
Yeah.
Don't matter. You gotta fight to win, man. You can't let the youngins take you down. The kid was disappointed. I admit, every time I felt like I was going to fall asleep on the ride home, I'd look back in the rearview mirror and say, I kicked your butt at Toy Story, and it would give me a smile on my face.
Yeah, and I think, too, the fact that as technology advances, they will be able to fairly easily upgrade the graphics and the screens and change them out, so, you know, they always can keep it relevant. And, you know, Mr. Potato Head's one of the best audio animatronics on property, so it's got a lot going for it.
Dude, I love that. I love that ride. I mean, I appreciate. I know you like it, then, but you know I love that ride. I love. Dude, just seeing the Lincoln Logs put a little. I was crying. I had a little tear in my eye. I had to make a joke and pick on the other two to get stop me from getting choked up. Because I was thinking about. And this is. And I know you guys think it's corny or whatever, but you can pick on me. I had two beers now, Peroni, so I can get sentimental. But I was laying. I remember. Like, I'm going through that line with my godson and my brother-in-law, and I seen the Lincoln Log deal, and I thought about laying on my dad's floor when I was, like, 10 years old or 8 years old, whatever I was, and putting them together, building them, and now I'm a builder. But the point of it is just watching him sit with me building that, it just brought back memories of being with my father at my dad's house building log cabins. And that's what I love about that ride, because it provokes all that for me. And I know I said it on this show a million times, but I love talking about Jimmy about, oh, you never played Mousetrap, you idiot, or something like that. You know, it just provokes conversation. And I think that's what makes Disney World so phenomenal is the queue that, like, the queues that ride has.
Yeah, I mean, that, you know, with people of our age and, you know, even a little younger, a little older, but, you know, there's something there that harkens back to your childhood, like you're saying, Doug, and, you know, somebody, you know, younger may say, you know, what is that stupid plastic monkey? And, you know, they don't know what a barrel of monkeys are or something like that. And,
I took the picture of the barrel monkeys and I was, like, laughing in my head off just
right.
Thinking of it.
I mean, we can all remember, you know, playing with them crazy things when we were kids. And, I mean, that's, again, probably when we do, the best queues on property or whatever, I mean, that's got to be up in the top two or three, I would think. I think it would be in my top two or three queues on property.
Absolutely. What do you say, Bob? You agree with us on that?
No, I agree. I mean, it's going to be – that attraction's going to be around a while. I mean, like I mentioned earlier, I mean, it's contemporary. I mean, you know, people that, you know, are, you know, older, like myself – they'll remember their kids watching the movie, and then, you know, my son, that's one of the movies he grew up with. So I think that one probably lasts for a bit, and you know, glad to have it there. I mean, it's not something we do have a fast pass for it, I will admit, for the Thanksgiving trip. I don't know whether we're going to make it over there for it or not, but at least we're going to give it a try. You know, it's not something we go on every single time, but it is enjoyable when we do.
I never miss it. That's one I do multiple times every trip. I love Toy Story. It's in my wheelhouse. I still like video games and all that stuff. So that was fun, guys. We basically said there was, like, what, three, maybe four untouchables in that park, but we think the only thing that won't be changed is Toy Story.
Yeah.
And well, Star Tours. Star Tours. We think that'll be added to but not changed. So
when you mentioned that this was an untouchable show and it was Hollywood Studios, and I said, what's left?
Yeah.
I mean, that's basically what it comes down to, is what's left. I mean, you know, it's just such it's a park so in flux. And, you know, you and I talked about this, Doug, and I can't remember if I said it on the show or not, but it was after you had the debate over park hoppers where I made the comment that you could almost I could almost make an argument that Hollywood Studios at this point should be a freebie. I mean, there's just not really much there to merit, you know, at the very least, they should give you cut rate admission. I mean, it's understandable. I mean, it's a park that's under major transition, but at the end of the day, wow.
No, I hear you, dude. My point was, is anybody that goes there and buys a single day ticket should automatically get a park hopper to another park. And they could still charge you regular admission, but then if you want to leave, if you do everything, you can go over to wherever you want.
That would be an olive branch, absolutely.
You know, I mean, I've said that for a while now. At least that park. If you buy a one-day ticket, you can go somewhere else. But we'll stop, like you said, Dan, we'll stop criticizing and going, because we can go on and on and on about picking on the studios about not having enough. But Bob, you want to head on over and give the results of the Animal Kingdom poll on and tell everybody how sorry we are to Yak and Yeti didn't win?
Well, I don't know about that part, but yeah, I did want to do that. I had mentioned, I think on one of the previous shows that I was on, that we were going to be holding the Parks Table Service series, which kicked off with Animal Kingdom a week or so ago. So I would encourage everybody to go over to allinwdw.com, the official website of the WDW Main Street podcast. Take a look at the results on the Animal Kingdom poll. Tusker House Restaurant, I think it's fair to say, won by a landslide with 43% of the vote. Nearest competitor was Doug's beloved Yak and Yeti with 31%. Tiffin's, the newbie at Animal Kingdom, came in with 17%, and poor Rainforest Cafe with 9% of the vote. But that makes the Tusker House Restaurant the official WDW fans' favorite Animal Kingdom table service restaurant by pretty wide margin over Yak and Yeti. Now, full disclosure, left to my own devices, my vote would have went to Yak and Yeti.
Well, good call, Bob. And I'll be honest with you, I hate that word, and you know I hate that because I'm always honest with you. But the point is, all four of those restaurants, I don't think you could go wrong with. I haven't eaten at Tiffin's yet, but I've heard nothing but good about it, and I can't wait to try it. But even at the Rainforest, even though I don't like going there because we have them locally, I've never had a bad meal at the Rainforest. It's not going to, like, curl your toes and make you jump up and down and scream what it's the best thing I ever had. But there's always something. The good thing about the Rainforest, there's always something on the menu for everybody if you have a large party. And I've never been totally disappointed. And there's plenty to drink on the menu.
Yeah, no, and you know, as far as... I was going to say graphics, but I mean the atmosphere is, it's pretty cool. Again, it's one of those things where if you've been in there 10 times, you pretty much ignore what's going on. But if you don't have one in your hometown and it's your first time going in a themed restaurant like that, it's pretty cool.
Absolutely. Me and Brenda, before Yak and Yeti opened, that was the only place to eat because we go there, we like, with all the heat, we wanted to go somewhere with air conditioning and have a sit down and be served for lunch. So we'd always eat lunch at the Rainforest and then go back in and roam around the park. And once Yak and Yeti opened, then it was a no-brainer. We were at the Yak and Yeti all the time because it was something different and we loved the whole story of that.
Right.
But we've eaten there, I don't know, 10 times. I don't know how many times at the Rainforest, but many, many times. And I really enjoy it there. Do you enjoy that one, Bob?
The only time that we've gone to Rainforest at Animal Kingdom, it was kind of a so-so experience. And I agree with you. I mean, it's much more of a more prevalent restaurant. I mean, I've seen them in Nashville, a number of places that we've traveled along the way. And so it makes it a little bit less special, I guess. So if we're left of our own devices and we're going to eat in Animal Kingdom, it's probably going to be at Yak and Yeti or Tusker House. And in fact, I'd venture to guess that Mrs. All in WDW would prefer Tusker House over Yak and Yeti. And as much as I prefer Yak and Yeti over Tusker House, I just, for me, Tusker House felt like a poorer copy of Boma. And we're really big Boma fans at Animal Kingdom Lodge. And, it was a nice experience. Don't get me wrong. It's just, I don't think it was, if I were going to pick a buffet like that, then I would go to Boma. If I'm going to pick a restaurant in Animal Kingdom, I'll pick Yak and Yeti.
Absolutely. And what I'll do, Bob, is because I had the salmon there last trip. It was phenomenal. And what I will do is I will send you over the pictures of that so you can do an article, and I'll give you what my godson and them had, and I'll give you a little – you can do a little article for us on the Yak and Yeti. So next time when everybody votes, I'll vote for the true winner.
Well, Bob, yes, please do that. Yes.
Did you run the same poll last year for the Animal Kingdom, or is this the first?
No, we've done Animal Kingdom before. I'd have to look back, Dennis. We didn't do it last year. We did it the year prior.
Okay.
And I'd have to take a search back through the website archives to find out who won. I think it was Yak and Yeti, though.
Okay, yeah, that's what I was wondering, if this is a two-time champion or we had somebody different come up and steal it. And going forward, I'm just wondering what Tiffin's – I mean, not enough people have eaten at Tiffin's, I'm guessing, to, you know, properly represent the food and how good it is or isn't. So next year's poll, if you run it next year, I'll be interested to see how many votes Tiffin's takes away from Tusker and Yak and Yeti.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. And looking at, I do have on the site the top 15 WDW table service restaurants, and we did that, I think, in 2014. Tusker House finished 10th out of all WDW, and that was the only Animal Kingdom restaurant that was on the top 15. So I'm going to say that it probably did beat Yak and Yeti the last time around.
Interesting.
The thing is with Tiffin's, I've heard good things about it, but I'll tell you what, when you do finally eat there, it better be good, because it's on the same price range as Yachtsman and California Grill. It's by far the most expensive restaurant at Animal Kingdom.
So you're looking 40, 50 bucks an entree.
Yeah, $53 for the Wagyu steak.
Wow. Well, yeah,
yeah, I know, but you know what? We talked a little bit about this when Mary and I decided to go to Trattoria El Forno for that dinner with our friends, as opposed to Flying Fish. I mean, I take a look at the prices they were charging, and you know, we're used to. Trust me, it's not that it was just high price, but because we're used to spending, we're used to paying high prices here in Atlanta. But I can't see spending that much to go to a restaurant in Animal Kingdom when I know that I can go to Yak and Yeti and have a really good meal.
Oh, the like I said, my brother-in-law, they're still talking about their meal there. I mean, pan-seared duck breast is $39. The grilled head of on prawns is $37. And then you got the Wagyu strip loin of braised short ribs is $53. So, I mean, I want to try this. I mean, maybe lunch is a little better. Like, I would suggest maybe trying lunch first.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
To give yourself the taste of the place. But I don't know. I mean, I'm looking forward to trying it because the restaurant does look beautiful. I will say that.
Yeah, I mean, I think you and I both at different times walked through. I mean, the atmosphere and the nice deck. What's the name of the lounge there? I forget. But the deck that wraps around and you're looking out into the water, and there's a nice bridge there, and it was covered with a tarp. But, you know, once that gets all themed and up to speed, it's going to be a great view. And I did see quite a few people eating exactly what you said, Doug, because I was there, you know, close to lunchtime, and, you know, I don't know, I don't have the menu in front of me. I'm assuming they
it's
have
the app. Nomad Lounge, Nomad, by the way,
yeah.
Nomad Lounge.
There were quite a few people at the Nomad Lounge sitting on those nice tables outside, and like I said, that, to me, would be something I would definitely try before I went there for a signature dining experience. I mean, I'm sure it's good, and eventually I will do it, but I see myself doing the Nomad Lounge first or something like that.
Yeah, because they have the African, like, and I could see me trying this because, you know, it's cooked in the same kitchen. There's no way it's a different kitchen. So, I mean, they have the African spice Wagyu beef sliders with vinegared potatoes for $14. Now, you could get a taste of this restaurant to make sure you know what you're getting into. Mm-hmm. And then they got the Asian barbecue chicken wings for $9. So I could see me go and have a couple drinks and try. I wish we'd have did that instead of freaking you know, Harambe Village, don't you, Dan?
Oh, yes. Yeah, and those prices you just mentioned are pretty reasonable.
Absolutely.
Weren't they about the same as the sawdust?
Yeah, I think it was $9, $10, close to that, something like that, Bob.
Yeah, it was whatever it was. It was $9-something too much. That thing was nasty. As soon as I seen it, it like, just the look of it. I mean, it don't even look good.
No, it's not very appealing.
No, it's not.
And folks, if you want to see pictures of it, check allinwdw.com. Next week, the post will be up.
Yeah, make sure you do. And don't. And the reason we keep complaining about this, we don't want you guys getting roped into this crap. It's horrible.
Yeah, I mean, we didn't get them, but from what we're hearing, you know, stick to the ribs. There's ribs there that are, I guess, are pretty good. And the, what was it? The, what was the sandwich, Doug? The
the gyro was good. My godson really liked the gyro.
To give them credit. You know, your son, you guys had it, my wife had it, and I think Carmen had it as well, and everybody seemed to enjoy that. So there are some items in the Harambe Village there that are, you know, good. So, I mean, don't not go there based on this sausage, but I'd recommend staying away from the sausage and going with some of the other offerings.
Everything was bad. It's a beef and pork sausage. It's fried in curried corn batter. And served with green papaya slaw and a black-eyed pea salad. Even that was, there was nothing good about it. I ate it, but it was like, I don't know.
Yeah.
But anyway, Bob, the Tusker House won the Animal Kingdom, and the Yak and Yeti should have won. And now we're going to move over to the Hollywood Studios, the sit-down. Do you want to go over what the sit-down ones are at the Hollywood Studios?
Absolutely. So the post will, or the poll will drop, tomorrow, Thursday, on allinwdw.com. So we have five table service restaurants at the Hollywood Studios staying in the theme of the show today. And they are 50s Primetime Cafe, the Hollywood Brown Derby, which, by the way, if you go to the website, you'll see that I posted earlier this week a Brown Derby lounge post courtesy of Doug Davis.
Some good looking guy ate there a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, absolutely. Only thing I didn't have was a picture of him. The third restaurant, Hollywood and Vine, Mama Melrose's Ristorante, and Sci-Fi Dining Theater. So there's five of them. You get to vote for what's your favorite of those five, and one of the five will become the WDW fans' favorite Hollywood Studios table service restaurant.
So let's give the fans what list how you would list the five. And you go first, Dennis.
Oh, I knew you were going to do that to me. Okay. Just my preference?
Yes, just how you – if you were listing them, one being the best and five being the worst, count backwards from five to number one. How would you list
them? Oh, boy. Let me go from best to worst because I'm not going to know them off the top of my head. I'm going to say 50s Primetime first, even though I know the Brown Derby. Well, I don't know, but based on what you and many others have told me, the Brown Derby is very good, but I've never eaten there. I'm going to put 50s Primetime first, Brown Derby second, the Italian restaurant. What's that?
Mama Melrose.
Mama Melrose third, Sci-Fi Dine-In fourth, and what am I missing?
Hollywood and Vine.
Hollywood and Vine, yeah, I'd throw that fifth. So, again, most people will disagree with my ranking, especially the first two, and rightfully so, but I can only go by what I've eaten or experienced personally. Once I eat at the Brown Derby, I'm sure that would flip around, but that's what I'm going with tonight.
How would you go, Bobby?
For myself, I think probably I would, to Dennis's point, put the Brown Derby first, Primetime second. I'd actually put Sci-Fi Dine-In third just because of the uniqueness of the experience. Probably Mama Melrose fourth, Hollywood and Vine last. Hollywood and Vine's a big character dining spot, and, you know, that's kind of not our speed. We don't have little kids with us. It's just empty nesters us, right? So from a standpoint of what we would like to go to, they'd probably be last on the list. We're not really big into Italian restaurants, and in Disney, you know, we've kind of fallen in love a little bit with Trattoria Al Forno if we are going to eat Italian, so I'd probably shy away there. Probably Derby, 50s, Sci-Fi. Those are the most unique of the three, or most unique three.
Okay, now listeners, listen to the way it should be. No, I'm just kidding. No, number one would be Brown Derby for sure. But 50s Prime Time is a very close second for me, and because I love the restaurant and the food. I've never eaten a bad thing there. So Brown Derby number one, 50s two. I would actually list Mama Melrose three. I would go Hollywood and Vine four, and I would put Sci-Fi last. And the reason that I would do
sci-fi.
It. Yeah, well, there's nothing in sci-fi that I want to eat. So I'm just going by the food, and that's what I would judge it by. It is a cool thing, and I enjoyed going in there, Bob. But the food kind of made it to where I never wanted to go back. It wasn't like anything that really grabbed me. I'm glad I did it. But for the prices that they charge for that, I'd rather have. And I'm not a big buffet guy, but there's more things on the menu at Hollywood and Vine than there is at. I'd rather go somewhere else to get a cheeseburger if that's what I want to eat it at.
Well, let me ask you this question. Would you rather Would you rather go to Sci-Fi Dine-In Theater or Harambe Village?
Harambe Village.
Wow.
I would go grab the ribs. I mean, I would go get something different. I mean, just sitting in there, it's cool, like I said, to sit in the whole deal, but I think it's the most overpriced place in the park for the value of the food.
Yeah, I mean,
the food's like a hair above McDonald's for me.
Yeah, I mean, they're trying to represent a drive-in that we all remember from our youth, and I get it, but you're right, Doug. There's nothing there. That it's a lot of burgers and fries and milkshakes, and if you're in the mood for that type of thing, I guess that's fine. But for what they charge for the type of food, I kind of agree with you. The big draw there, as Bob pointed out, and why he ranked
it's beautiful. It's awesome.
It's a unique dining experience, and even if you didn't eat it all, just sitting in one of them cars and looking at the old movies and stuff, and it's a pretty neat facility for sure.
Yeah, because me and Brenda ate at Hollywood and Vine our very first year we went there, and the food was good, and I'm just judging this, if I was judging it by theme, then it would probably be 50s Prime Time, Sci-Fi, then the Brown Derby, if you're going by theme. But I got to go by food, and the Brown Derby is gorgeous inside. The Brown Derby's elegant. It kind of makes you feel like you're in the Roaring Twenties. It brings back the era of the supper club. Like, you feel kind of a little special when you're in there. I know I do. But it's just the food at the Sci-Fi, I did it, so I got to see it. Now, if I never was in there, Bob, I'd probably want to go there more. But once I've eaten there, I do enjoy the atmosphere, the look of it, but the food was nothing to write home to Mom about.
Yeah, understandable.
Okay. Well, that's fair enough. Let's see what the voters have to say. It'll drop on Thursday. Please go to allnwdw.com. Cast your votes. Which one's your favorite? Which one's going to be the WDW fans' favorite Hollywood Studios table service? And which one of us will be wrong? Doug.
Okay, but I know I'm right. I'd rather go over to the Brown Derby counter service and have that duck slider and that Wago beef slider for $15, then pay $17 for the Sci-Fi theater hamburger. But that's my story, and I'm sticking to it, Bob.
That's okay. That's all right. Everybody's got their taste. I honestly, full disclosure, have not been to Sci-Fi yet. I just know that it's a unique environment. I've not been to Hollywood and Vine. I've not been to Mama Melrose. I have been to the other two. So it's going to be an easy vote for me. Well, geez, Dennis, there's so many.
What did Bob decide to leave us then?
Yeah, I guess so. He was so anxious to get his. Oh, there he is.
No, he's back. He cut off on us.
I'm here. No. Where does this park table service go? Hollywood Studios is the last easy one, folks, because then we get into Magic Kingdom, where we've got 8 choices, which will end up being probably a 2-round poll, which means Doug's going to get his wish, and he's going to be able to contribute to seeding the competitors. And then Epcot has an epic 19 table service restaurants, and that is going to be a seating conversation that's going to probably take 4 hours.
Yeah, well, we might be doing that off the air and then on the air final seatings if you think it's going to take 4 hours, Bobby.
It's only going to take 4 hours if you don't agree with us, Doug.
Okay, well, I have to be... the show has to have some kind of fun. Somebody has to disagree.
Right, right.
So why not be me? No, but I'm looking forward to that. I love, you know, the more food conversation, the better to me.
Absolutely. So. We always have fun with food. And as we know from our show and Bob's website, food is very popular at Walt Disney World. And people get very heated and they have their favorites. And it's something we all enjoy and we all enjoy talking about and reading about. So it's going to be fun doing these polls and talking about all this stuff going forward.
And I don't want to be misquoted. My sliders were $17, I remember, not $15.
Oh.
So I don't want to lie. But they're the same price as what you pay at Sci-Fi. And I'm telling you, the burgers over at the Hollywood Brown Derby are 10 times better.
But folks, go over to the website. The pictures are on there of the sliders. They may have been $17, but don't be scared away by that price. I mean, they are phenomenal looking sliders.
Oh,
I mean, those,
dude, you're gonna
those
love
are
them.
Not, but those don't, do not look small at all.
No, dude, they were it was nice. It was awesome. The whole atmosphere there. I mean, I wish it was. I can't wait to the day where me and my wife can go sit there and just chill at that place. I mean, it's the perfect atmosphere. Like a streetmosphere came on. I was watching them. Then I was paying attention to all the stuff going on in front of the Chinese theater. It's the perfect place to sit. I mean, and the weather was 80 degrees that day. It was beautiful. And I do want to correct myself, too. The reason I ended up eating there was I did go into Starring Rolls Cafe right there, and there was nothing on the menu I wanted. I was looking at $17 for sliders cooked at the Brown Derby or paying whatever it was, $12 or $13 for a ham sandwich. Now, what am I going to choose?
Right. No, you made the right choice.
No-brainer. Yeah, I was going to say no-brainer in my mind. Plus, you got a chance to sit there under an umbrella. From what I can see on the picture, you were having a beer that was not any darker than a Miller Lite. I mean, it sounds like a wonderful afternoon.
I was having a wonderful time. It was beautiful there. And, guys, I can't wait to see the results of this poll. I can't wait to see that I was right with the Brown Derby. Now, I honestly think, though, the Brown Derby is best, but I'll tell you, I think 50's Primetime is going to win.
Yeah, it's very popular.
I think it's, yeah, and it's everybody can eat there. It's home cooking. So I think that's going to win. And, Bob, I know you don't like to totally predict, do you?
To be perfectly honest with you, I agree with you. 50's Primetime is a very popular place. And if I go back to that top 15 WDW table service restaurants poll, it was actually number 12 out of 15 in all of WDW.
Yeah, I think that'll end up winning. But the Brown Derby, it is pricey, but it is worth the expense. But now that they have the lounge, guys, Dennis, you at least next trip got to at least try the lounge. And you do too, Bob.
I'm going to have to try to talk her into doing that now that you've been there. I mean, because even really, if you take a look at the menu for the Brown Derby Lounge, and I didn't post it in the actual post that I put on the website, but you can get the Brown Derby Cobb salad, and it's $10, I think, if I remember the price right. I mean, it's very inexpensive. It's an inexpensive way to eat at the Brown Derby restaurant.
What I would do if I was you guys, one of you is get the sliders, the other one get the Cobb salad, and split them. Because the Cobb salad is a pretty good size. It's considered a half of what the original is, but it's huge. It's still big. It still comes in a really nice it would be a perfect lunch for you guys. Couple drinks, couple Miller Lights. I know you like that. And one of you get the sliders, cut them in half, split them, and each of you split the Cobb salad. You'll have a phenomenal lunch.
You know what would be interesting to find out? Maybe if I do talk Mary into going there, this is what we could try. Probably we wouldn't be all that excited about the duck confit slider, but I wonder if they do two of the Wagyu beef.
They do. They asked me if I wanted it. It was two. It's for $2 more, is what they charge you. They charge you $2 more if you get two Wagyu beef sliders.
Well,
and
be
I
worth
said
it.
To myself, and I'll tell you what, they were phenomenal. But I'm telling you right now, that duck was so good, Bob. I would have been so mad at myself now if I didn't get that duck slider because it had a unique taste that I think you should try.
Yeah, tell that to your ducks over at the Magic Kingdom. I'm sure they're thrilled you enjoyed the duck.
Yeah, uh-huh. You know what? You know what, Dennis? Well, that just tells me is that Doug is just one step away from having lamb meatball.
Yeah. I gotta say, based on that move, it wouldn't surprise me.
What happened was I ordered it and then realized it was the duck on the menu, and I had to try it. It was like I wasn't gonna. The poor thing was already passed away, so I figured it would go to waste if I didn't try it.
You couldn't save him at that point.
I'm telling you, I don't usually like it. I don't usually want it, but in that recipe, the way they prepared it and put it on that bun, I'm telling you, I think you'd be doing yourself a disservice if you don't try it, Bob. And I've never steered you wrong yet, have I?
No, you haven't. I like the bangers and mash, and I like the... I haven't had the garlic shrimp at Spice Road Table yet, but we'll probably have to put that on the list.
Man, I even called you up and told you to try whips, and you like them. Come on.
I bring one of them whips to lunch every day.
Yep.
Yeah,
so I didn't even steer you guys wrong on them.
No, nope, you didn't.
You didn't.
So, but that's going to be it for this episode, guys. Please go over to It's All in WDW and check out all of our great posts that our good buddy Bob does. You do a wonderful job, Bob. I have to give you that.
Thank you.
And please go over to iTunes and leave us a review. We'd really appreciate it. You can find Bob at It's All in WDW. You can find Dennis at Oak Manor. You can follow me at Good Old Grumpy 6767. And you can even follow John at Beer Solo, even though he stood us up tonight. We really did miss you tonight, John. We're looking forward to you on the next episode. And we will talk to you guys real soon. Have a great rest of your week, guys.
Happy trails.
Guys, that's going to be it. Me and Dan's going to hop off our stools, pay our tab, and get on out of here. This show is brought to you by our fine sponsors, American Tourist Travel. For all your travel needs, contact American Tourist Travel at 856-227-9200. If you need a nice home in the Central Florida area to go visit Disney, Universal, or any of the fine amusement parks, and you want to stay outside the parks, contact the Elite Vacation Homes at 888-510-6679. They have a home to fit any size family. If you need a scooter in the Central Florida area, contact Scooter Vacations at 855-939-7266. And if you want to rent a vacation club on Disney property, contact David's Vacation Club Rentals at 800-610-5791. And you can also find all of our fine sponsors at our website at www.magicalmainstreetmemories.com. And please, guys, go give us a review over on iTunes. That's going to be it. Thanks again, and thanks for listening. We will see you next time. Bye-bye.